whatnot.
Shut up! WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is f***ing great, Larry. Now, Sammy's kicked out, too. Just knowing you is a liability. We were in there. We're having the interview. It's nice. It looks like they're going to accept her. And then you show up.
I don't know what to say. I'm sorry.
You know, these are children's lives we're talking about, Larry. Their future is in our hands. You don't understand. You just became a parent.
No.
But you have to take responsibility.
I believe the children are our future.
Oh, really?
Oh, you know what? You have ruined my life. You have ruined my life. I have to live with this now.
Oh, you bet he does.
Oh, you hear that? I am f***ed and you f***ed me. Hard.
She'll get into another school.
Oh, we don't want another school.
On.
We want this school.
We did all our research for this school, man.
Can I have those flowers?
You want the flowers? Take the flowers.
The Don and Mike Show. The comedy stops here. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, the line went dead. We got her back. Thank goodness we got her back. Yeah, she didn't get to hear that wonderful lead-in, but much sad. Welcome to the show, Susie Essman. Hey, Susie.
Susie, are you there?
Susie?
What kind of operation are you running there?
Oh, there's always some sort of technical snafu.
We're the worst. We suck. Susie, we are gigantic fans.
Hold on,
thank you. Let me play this music from...
There it is.
Music makes you smile. I just hear that music and I smile.
Such peaceful music, and then you come on the screen and it's total rage.
And all the years that Curb Your Enthusiasm has been on, it has high moments and it's low moments like any show does. But your performance, I'm not kidding you, sweetheart, it's beautiful. When you call your husband, Jeff Garland, a fat F, and when you drop the C-bomb.
Oh, I do have a way with words.
Oh, my God. I mean.
You know, I watch her on this show. I can only think it has got to be, for an actress, an absolute blast to play that role.
I feel so lucky to have, you know, well, first of all, you know, I don't mean to be disingenuous. Larry gives me such funny stuff to do. It's hard not to be funny. I mean, he knows how to use me in a way no man has ever known how to use me.
Watch him.
You know, he just knows exactly where to put Susie. And, you know, I mean, the words are all mine because most people know it's all improvised.
Right.
But he knows how to put me in situations with him that are just going to be hilarious.
I'd love to ask you about that because we keep hearing, you know, and as you just said, the show's improv. There's a basic idea. For instance, walk me through the one. And remember, we're on the radio, so we got to be careful how we talk.
I know.
But there's the thing where someone – did something and the guy did it on the blanket.
Oh, that.
Okay, all right. I know where you're going.
Okay,
where I ban him from the house.
Yes, and then
okay. Basically, what would be written in that scene would be, Susie overhears Jeff and Larry talking about the incident.
Mm-hmm.
She walks in, grills them, finds out what's going on, and bans Larry from the house.
So
that's all that's written.
Then I want to tell you something. All of you people, your entire troop, that's really brilliant. And how many takes do you guys generally?
Well, first of all, you know, Larry ruins all my takes. Because the man loves to be screamed at and yelled at, especially by me for some reason. And the minute I start to yell, before I even start to yell at him and he knows I'm going to, he gets hysterical laughing.
You know, you mentioned this, and really I forgot because when the show first came on, I think there was a bit of press about the fact that you guys were all improv. But I've forgotten over the years that is, and I really... It's really not out there in your PR all the time for Curb Your Enthusiasm. This show is exclusively improv. In fact, I thought in the back of my mind that maybe there was a rough outline, and it's just...
Well, there is an outline, and it's not rough. It's very detailed because Larry's so story-oriented.
Right, right.
He knows exactly what each scene is and what needs to happen in each scene and where it has to go. But that whole, the relationships and the dialogue, none of that is written.
All right, well, I'm a huge fan, so indulge me for a second about another episode that I remember with you from a couple of seasons ago. I don't remember how Larry got in the situation, but it was Larry and Jeff Garland, and there was porno, and someone had died, and Larry was watching the porno, I guess, in your house.
Oh,
and it was Rob. What was the plot? Because I know
Jeff was having an operation,
and Jeff's parents walk in.
Mm. Right, he was afraid that if he passed during the operation, they'd find his porno.
And that, that might have been the first time you banned Larry from the house or something.
You know what? Can I? People always ask me what my favorite thing, my favorite phrase, and it's Larry, get the out of my house. I love chicken out of my house. And I do. I think I'm not sure. I think I do it again this season.
Well, you have plenty of reason to. When you're doing it, and I don't want to overburden you with all the nuts and bolts of when you're doing an improv. But you mentioned that there's the detailed outline that Larry writes, the detailed outline with other writers, or does he write it exclusively?
He pretty much writes it himself. He's got his little, you know, wise men that he confers with ideas and bounce ideas, but it's really all him.
So is he in the scenes when you're shooting the scenes with him? Is he the traffic cop? Because I would imagine in an improv like this, when you're actually doing a take, someone's got to be the driver of the car where you know, okay, it's time to get out of this or it's time to go this way or that way. Is there, when you're doing an improv like that, is there one guy that's driving the scene?
No.
Oh, no, so it's just...
We just kind of go and we all kind of feel it, and then we'll kind of end it, and then we'll discuss it. You know, there's also a director. So after, I mean, Larry's the final word on everything on the show, but after we do the scene, then we'll, like that scene where I ban him, then we'll kind of confer and say, okay, this worked, let's do that again, let's leave this out, and let's try to get to this piece quicker. And then we'll do take. So much is done in the editing. We do, there's two cameras going at all times.
Right.
And we do tons of takes so that the editors have tons of coverage and they can cut it up whatever way they
need. Do you get surprised a lot when they edit it? Do you get surprised? It's like, oh my God, I didn't know that could be that good.
I'm always surprised when they edit it. Yeah, because, you know, I forget. The minute we do it, I forget it. I don't remember an episode we shot and what I said and what I didn't say.
Right.
Because it's so in the moment. It's not like you learn a line and it's in your head and you know the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's just also in the moment that I don't, you know, what does happen is I live in New York and I fly out there and stay in a hotel when we're shooting. And I'll go back to the hotel room at night and I'm by myself and I'm lying in bed. And all of a sudden, I'll just start giggling hysterically, uncontrollably, thinking about what we shot.
That's fantastic.
maybe you will know about this. Maybe you won't. You're on the set. You know, a lot of that show is obviously very loosely based on Larry David's real life and all the stuff with his wife. His wife became a public person. Then they got divorced. And I noticed on the first three episodes this year that his wife is there, but she's not featured as much. And I was wondering when he's throwing this at you, when you guys are being creative, does that come up at all at this point? Does anybody say?
Well, actually, they split up after we had wrapped already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. We wrapped the end of March. I mean, we did some reshoots a couple weeks ago. We did some reshoots, but we wrapped the end of March and they split up in June.
You know, and
don't you think they were having problems then, though? Probably.
I think they were having problems for a long time. You don't just split up in 2 months out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
So do you think that will be reflected in Curb Your Enthusiasm?
In the next season, if we do it.
And are you going to do it? I mean, what are the odds of that? Are you going to go ahead?
Odds are good. Odds are good. Ooh, that we're going to do another season. Of course, you know, it's Larry's world. I'm only living in it. I just wait till I get the phone call. But he's feeling pretty confident we'll do another season. He just waits for the muse to hit him. I got an email from him the other day saying he just finished editing episode 10, and now he's going to sit back and wait for the muse.
Okay.
So if he gets an arc idea that he gets excited about, then he'll go with it. But it'll happen. I believe it'll happen.
Now, I have to ask this.
I think that is it going to reflect what's going on in his life? Yeah, I think that's what artists do.
Right.
It reflects what's going on in your life. But will it be exactly like it? You know, I mean, I can only think the episode this week with the scratchy toilet paper.
Yeah.
I'm sure that actually, I don't know for a fact, I'm sure that actually went on in his house.
You know, and so that leads me to my next question, which I'm sure you've probably been asked before, but I have to ask it anyway. When you watch that show and you watch Larry David, I constantly am thinking when I'm watching the show, is this dude remotely like this when he goes out to a restaurant or he goes out to get an ice cream cone and he goes out in real life?
No, that's everything he's thinking.
Okay, it's everything
he's
thinking.
Here's his answer whenever I've asked him that question.
Okay.
That's the person he aspires to be. He wishes that he didn't have to.
Don't
have
we
to
all?
It, all that convention and just tell the truth and just, you know. I mean, when you're seeing somebody take sample after sample, you want to scream at them.
You're a and sample abuser.
All right, so if he's playing himself, you obviously are not playing yourself. You're playing someone who's made up. Not like you're on a soap opera where people will walk up to a villain on a soap opera on the street and say, oh, I hate you. But do people walk up to you and expect you to say to them, hey, you fat F, or you
well,
dumb
so what
C
happens word? Is, can I tell you, this is how strange my life has become. They beg me. They walk up to me on the street and beg me to curse at them.
I would.
I'm just walking along the streets of Manhattan, and people are coming up to me asking me to call them all sorts of things and, like, begging me to.
And it's
so strange.
And in real life, I'm guessing you're a very sweet, wonderful woman, right?
Ask my boyfriend. No, I am, but you know, what we call it in my family is every now and then I'll go Susie Green on somebody. For example, I was with my 16-year-old stepdaughter, and some creepy perv grabbed her behind in the street. I went nuts. I just screaming. I was totally Susie Green on the guy, which is not inappropriate.
Right. Not in that circumstance. No, not at all.
You know, but we walked away and she said to me, you just Susie Greened him. So it's become, what is that, an adjective, a verb? I don't know what that is.
It's whatever you want it to be, baby. Whatever you want it to be. Tell us about your Bravo show that's coming up here called Better Half. Tell us
about
that.
Bravo show is a reality contest show. It's fun. I'm the host. I facilitate. I'm not screaming and yelling. I'm actually stopping people from screaming and yelling. It's two couples. Best examples, I'll just describe the first episode. We've done six. It's all different professions. First episode is chefs. Two high-end chefs in Manhattan have 48 hours to teach their wives how to be chefs in a busy restaurant in Manhattan. And the women can't cook at all. They were totally tragic, these two women. And then they have to prepare a meal, a full-course meal, and serve 25 people in the way that you do at a restaurant, the appetizer for this table and the entree for that in all different times. And they're judged by a panel of experts, and the winner wins $20,000. And we follow them through the 48-hour process. And there's a lot of tension between the couples. Even the most loving couples end up wanting to kill each other. And it's fun. It's just kind of fun and interesting, and it's about relationships and about professionalism, and I'm the host.
Oh, show, cool. Show premieres tomorrow night on Bravo. I bet in real life you are a hell of a demanding lover. Are you?
I think I'm a very gentle, giving lover.
Really? And how long have you been with this? I noticed that you threw that out there. Boyfriend.
Jimmy, 4 years. He, you know what? He's my husband in everything but legal.
Atta girl. That's fine. No problem with that at all.
No.
Some of us can sympathize.
I have no need to get married. What do I want to ruin everything?
Have you been to the rodeo before?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Very
really?
Interesting.
Yeah,
so you don't have that burning desire, the stereotype that most women have, that they have a burning desire to have a ring on their finger.
Never did. I have my grandmother's antique engagement ring that I wear every day.
Right.
And it's diamond and it's beautiful. What do I need a rock for?
Oh, wow.
I'm not that kind of a girl.
Okay. That's very rare.
And your boyfriend knows that?
Yes.
Wow, yep. Is he lucky?
It's a lucky man.
Wow, is he lucky? Except,
he agrees with you. He's the greatest guy in the world.
Except the problem would be, no matter how cool Susie would be in real life, what if every once in a while she wanted to go Susie Green?
I do go Susie Green.
Yeah, I mean, that would... Well, but it's
especially
like,
when I'm hormonally imbalanced.
Going Susie Green. Yeah. I think that could actually work its way out to the general public.
It should.
You know, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go Susie Green. Guys could use that. Everybody could use that.
I mean, everybody goes Susie Green every now and then.
Absolutely.
And if they... Actually, you know what? There was an article in the New York Times today, and it talked about women who hold their anger in with their husbands and don't express it are so much more likely to die. Mm-hmm. Than women who express their anger.
And I want to say that I appreciate that sacrifice. I really do.
Thank you.
I truly do. I appreciate that.
So I have actually, you know, given women all across this great land of ours permission to yell and scream at their husbands so that they could live longer and be healthier.
Is this the first... Now, have you done improv comedy before? Have you... Because, you know, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. To me, it's the polar opposite of some of the improv troupes that I've gone to see on stage, which can really... Sometimes they can be very good. Sometimes they can actually turn your...
I'll tell you why that is. Well, I'm a stand-up comic, and a lot of my act is improvised, and I've always, you know, improvised on stage a lot. But the reason why it's different, the reason why there's a lot of shows that try to copy Curb is and they don't work. It's not just this free-for-all improv. Larry has one of the greatest genius story brains of anybody. I mean, look at Seinfeld.
Right.
He's just a genius with story. So that we're not just improvising. There's a very specific storyline that we're following.
Let me ask you about that for a second, Susie. When you get your sides, that's a script for those of you who are not in the... No. When you get your sides, is it a complete outline of the show, or are there subplots that you didn't know about that are in the outline?
No, there's a 7-page outline approximately. I get the outline. Jeff gets the outline. Cheryl, I think, gets the outline, but she doesn't like to read them because she likes it all to be more spontaneous. But the guest actors don't get the outline. They just show up on the set and they're told what the scene is about.
Oh my God, that is just
The reason for that is that Larry doesn't want them planning lines ahead of time.
Right.
Like a bad sitcom, where it's like everybody's saying punch lines and nobody's actually having conversation. So he doesn't want any of that pre-planned. We get it because, he trusts us and we know, I mean, Jeff's one of the executive producers and I've been doing it for so long. And he always says, I give the outline to Susie because she never plans lines. But sometimes I do, but he doesn't know it.
You know, I love Larry's work on that. And I know he's the genius. And we've told you how much we love you. But Jeff is absolutely phenomenal on that show. I mean,
he's
so real. He is so natural.
So is Cheryl.
Yeah,
so
Cheryl's very, very real also.
Cheryl has a hard job.
Right.
Because she's really the straight man for him. Yeah,
well, she can't overdo it, can she? She really has to be careful with
it. She's got to get in bed with Larry David.
She's had kissing scenes with him.
Yes,
I've never had any with Jeff.
Oh.
I'll tell you one thing about that show. It turned me around on Ted Danson. I always considered him to be Frankenstein and kind of a tool.
He's great in the show, isn't he?
But when I see him in the show, and especially now if I know that when he's doing humor that puts himself down, if he's coming up with that, more power to him.
Yeah, and he's a good guy.
And you know what?
The thing about the show is we all get along so well. Jeff's one of my best friends. Larry and I are really close. I had dinner with Cheryl the other night. I don't think that we could treat each other on camera that way if we didn't really love each other off camera.
There's nothing like a renaissance for an actor, too. And that Larry brought Shelley Berman back into the world of so people could see him today. I mean, really one of the great stand-up comics of his day.
He was.
And he's just a naturally funny guy.
And perfect as Larry's father.
Do you get a chance to spend some time with him or get a chance to, be around him? He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he really, he had an unfortunate career in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
He had a career he could have.
Mm-hmm.
But, it happens to a lot of people. I feel very lucky that Larry gave me this job so that I could have the career I can.
And what about the comparisons to Seinfeld? Because I know a lot of people say that Curb Your Enthusiasm is Seinfeld continued, Seinfeld on HBO, Seinfeld, edgier Seinfeld, the continuation of the life of George Costanza. What do you think about all that?
Well, George was very much the Larry character. Mm-hmm. He was the Larry character. And Jason says that all those years he was just doing a bad imitation of Larry. That was how he came upon the George character. I guess the sensibility of Seinfeld was very much Larry and Jerry, and Curb is very much Larry's sensibility. So I don't think it's a continuation. I just think the person who created both of them is the same person. So there are going to be similarities.
I
think he has so much more freedom on HBO than you do on a network, so he could really delve into that id of his.
last question. Seriously, how many Priuses do you think Larry David single-handedly sold in the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm when no one knew that car existed?
A lot. A lot. I have one.
Hey, there you go. I bet a lot of the other actors, do any of the other actors drive around in one?
I don't know. His assistant does, but I think that's a hand-me-down.
And now his
Jeff, it's a little small for Jeff. Jeff needs a bigger car.
Yeah.
Does he lobby any of the cast members for his environmental causes?
He's not a proselytizer, Larry, at
okay.
all.
Okay. All right.
He really does not do that. I think that was the ex's thing way more than his.
I was just going to say, and being as they split up, he probably drove in a Hummer.
You know what Larry said? I read a quote of his in some newspaper. He said the minute they split up, he ran home and turned all the lights on. Which I thought was such a great quote.
Oh, that's great.
Well, aren't you wonderful, Susie? Seriously, we're huge fans of Susie Essman on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Watch her brand new show tomorrow night. Better Half premieres on Bravo. Check check your local listings. Thank you, you
great
fat.
Great to talk to you guys. You guys are fun.
You fat F, you C word. Get out of my house.
Hey, you know, can we get one from her just before she goes so we can put it on tape and keep it forever and say, hey, Don and Mike, lose weight. You're both at, you know, could you give us just a little Susie
okay.
Green?
You know what? Hold
are
on.
Are you both fat?
Hold on.
We're really both fat.
Susie would okay. be great is we will hit the delay. Just go ahead and call us fat
okay,
F's.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, it's Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, that rocks.
Thank you for that gift.
That's
goodbye,
beautiful.
Guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Honey. Bye-bye.
Wow.
What a great way to end that interview.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that was deleted out. We will have the edited tape for you.
Good.
I hope on the other side of the break.
That is too much fun. She gave it her all, didn't she?
Hey, Donna, Mike, you fat ass.
There's a healthcare crisis.
Hear it all. You didn't get a chance to hear it, but yeah. You will hear it.
Lose some weight.
Oh, fantastic.
You fat ass.
I had no idea. I knew that they were based on an improv, but I thought they kind of had a loose script to work around. They go in there and they just have an outline. And they oh, God, what a job for an actor.
Great job.
Pretty wow.
Good. Pretty good.
Boy, oh
pretty
boy.
Good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, Ed, we thank her. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.